Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Welcome everyone to today's episode. I am absolutely thrilled you're here, and I'm thrilled to have Jennifer Grove of J. Grove Wellness, and she's a venting coach. So I can't wait to hear more about what a venting coach is, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her story. So welcome to the show, Jennifer. It's lovely to have you.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Janine Wilson. I really appreciate it. I'm not sure that most people actually understand what venting coach means truly. It's not something that a lot of people really are looking for until they have nowhere else to go. What I love to tell my clients a lot of times, or even people that I'm meeting in public, is that when we vent to our girlfriends or to a group of people, to our spouse, to our family, and we want to stay and ruminate in, that's not venting. That's complaint. That's getting people on board with what you're thinking and not actually releasing the thought or the emotion that you're feeling from it. So with a venting coach, especially in my practice, we actually move the emotion out of the body. So it's a little talk therapy with a lot of somatic work that goes along to it. Because if we don't actually work with the body, the mind will just circle it around and around and we'll hold on to it for a long time.
Wow. So when you said venting coach, I thought there was something that I didn't know what it was that was called venting, but you're actually talking about people venting. I got these things in my head and my body that to get them out. That's what you're talking
about. Yes, 100%. Yes. Like we are moving the body in particular ways. I have had people truly ask me, what's the process you go through? And while there is somewhat of a guideline, every single person is unique and different. So what works for one person might not work for the next. So while I do have a guideline of how I want to work with a client, that's not always going to be the case, because if they have an issue with breath work, if that brings up something for them, if it creates maybe too much emotion in them and we're not releasing, then I'm going to back off of that and I'm going to try a different tool that I have in my toolbox. So it's not always the exact same with every person.
So yeah, so that's a great visual. So give us a few more. When someone comes to you, how do they know that they need your help? How about there? Let's start there.
I love that question, because I think that we all as humans need a village. Like we try to do everything on our own. We struggle so much with that a lot of times. So that's when we start to look for a therapist or a coach or really close-knit friends that we can share what's going on in our lives. So when they finally make it to me, they're looking for a shift of some sort. They don't really know what they're looking for, but whatever they've experienced hasn't been working for them. And I love working with people because, especially women, I have a few male clients, but not many. Most of the women come in with one particular thing in mind. And by the time they leave, it's completely different. I didn't know I needed to work on that. Thank you. Now we know where we need to start.
I love that. And you're so right, especially women. My business partner will say, men will outsource anything. If they could outsource going to the bathroom, they would. Can you take care of this for me so I can finish what I'm working on? I know, right? And so just like you said, as women, we're like, no, we're a failure if we can't do it all ourselves. We feel like we have to. And actually, that's what we do. We help our clients outsource different things in their business and help them understand that they can do it. Stop brain surgery. It's just a skill that you have to learn. But oftentimes it is also a mindset involved in that, that I don't know if they think I'm not a good person if I can't do everything. But what we find is that they feel so much more confident. Wow, I can do that. And I did it and it's working. And it's taking all this pressure off me. It's amazing. Tell me some of your experiences with your clients.
See, I love how you mentioned that outsourcing for women and how they really feel bad about themselves for that, because society has helped us to understand that our worth is tied to our output. And that is so not the case. We are worthy no matter what. So when I'm working with clients, whether I'm working one-on-one or we're on a retreat, we will truly have a session where we're talking about something. What are we feeling at the moment? What's on the surface? And then once we get to that surface level, we start to move some of that energy out of the body. Because if we don't work with the physical body and energy from it, no matter what that energy is, no matter what that emotion is, minds, then we can't actually work with the mind because the mind's always there to protect us no matter what. It's such a smart tool, but the body needs consistency. The body needs to be able to move through whatever it's working with, whether that's joy, whether that's anger, whether that's sadness, happiness. We have to allow that emotion to physically move throughout our body because we're a frequency. I'm not sure the complete statistics of this. The numbers may have shifted some, but they say that at least 65% for women and 55% for men were water. So our bodies are at 55 to 65% water. That number may have shifted over time. But that being said, if we're 65% water, we're majority water. And we've seen how the ocean moves, how the waves move with the temperature, the shift in weather. Why would we think that our body, our emotions don't shift? If that's the case, then we need to allow them to move, where a lot of times women specifically want to hold on to whatever emotion they're feeling because it's not okay for us to feel them.
I can see that. Do you think too? I know endorphins have things to do with it too, but do you think that's why people who do yoga or exercise or walk on a regular basis overall feel better?
Yes, because you're moving endorphins in your body. Right? You're out in nature. That's a very big substance if you're walking, if you're exercising outside. Now, if you're like in a studio, because I also teach clients yoga and Pilates. So if you are in a studio, your energy is binding with the other energies in the room. So think of it like walking into a room of people that you have no idea who they are. You instantly can tell, your body can tell, oh my gosh, this doesn't feel comfortable, or this is going to be the best event ever. Your body already knows. Your mind is just going to take over whichever direction just to keep you safe.
It's so true. And just speaking of yoga, I did hot yoga a few times, and it was such a different vibe than doing just like a soft, gentle yoga. And the people in there were different. But yeah, as soon as I got in that room, I could feel this weird kind of energy with these people who were. That's so funny that you said that, and I just put those two together.
Yeah, our bodies tell us a lot more than what we truly listen to because we've been so desensitized throughout society. There's so many things. It's instant gratification. We have to hurry up. We have to do this so that we can receive that. All of that starts to desensitize how we're really listening to our bodies. So rituals are such an important practice for every single one of us. And if we don't have a ritual in place, that's where I love for people to start.
Okay, so that's great. How would you suggest that people start a ritual to start moving or to start feeling better if right now everything is clenched up and they're frustrated? What would you tell them at least like a first step or first tip?
Let it out. Let it out. Speak it out. Scream, yell, hum, sing, whatever you need to do to get it from here to here out into the ether. That's going to be the first step because you're going to feel a release instantaneously. It may be the smallest release, but you're going to feel it. I would suggest not doing it around a lot of other people at first if you're not comfortable with it.
Yeah, we used to have a punching bag because my daughter is a third degree black belt in karate. And so I used to love just putting on her gloves and just beating this thing up.
You get the energy out. I love to do that with my retreat clients when I take them on retreat. We will break things. I intentionally have a space set up that they go and they can pick a certain item and they break it because it just gives you this ability to release what you're feeling, that pent-up energy, that anger, that frustration.
Okay, quick pause. This episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass. If you've been avoiding your finances and quietly hoping it won't catch up with you, we want you to hear this. You're not failing. This is incredibly common for most business owners. Most people don't avoid money because they don't care. They avoid it because it feels heavy, confusing, or stressful. In our free live masterclass, we're going to show you a clear, more supportive way to handle your finances so your business can actually support your life. You can learn more and save your seat at lessmathmoremoney.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
I just wrote down break things.
Love that.
I know I've heard the statistic about water, but that is so interesting because, and topical, because this time of year we have our VAs work in the Philippines, and so they tend to get typhoons. And so it's just like this angry water overflowing and moving and thrashing. And it's just such a crazy kind of visual. And I also was thinking about maybe when you're angry, like your water is boiling. I get boiling angry. Yeah, those are good visuals.
Love the water visual.
Yeah, the other thing I was thinking of is a friend of ours, I can't remember who it was, said, if you think about how water travels down, like down a hill, it creates a ravine, if you will, and it carves this out in the earth. And then if you want to change that direction or stop that from happening, you've got to do something pretty drastic because you can't just cover it up because it's going to dig it out again. And so I think that's how they described how your mind goes, because we tend to do the same thing and the same thing when we're frustrated or angry and we don't get anywhere.
Yes. One of the reasons behind that is because we feel safe, albeit not so great. It's still something that we feel so familiar with. So we tie that to safety. Even when it's not working for us.
Yeah, the safety, the ego.
Yes.
Back to that. So tell me a bit about your clients. You said they're mostly women. Are they of a certain age? Are they typically business people? Are they women who don't work and stay home and take care of the kids in the house? Is there a commonality between them?
I think there is. I work with a lot of women who are entrepreneurs or in the corporate world. And the age ranges from the mid 30s to upper 70s.
Yeah, we have a lot of entrepreneurs in our program who are in their 70s and they're fantastic. They're so excited and anxious to keep learning and keep growing. And it's really inspiring.
That is extremely inspiring. Yes. I love to listen to people that are older than myself just because they've been on this earth longer. They have more knowledge, whether they know it or not, because they can share something through a story that will inspire the next person.
Yeah, I love that. That is so true. You obviously work with your clients one-on-one and you do retreats. I heard you say that as well. Do you work with them in groups as well? Or does this type of work not quite work as well?
I will do one-off workshops with groups, but this type of work really is for an individual because there could be quite a bit of emotion that does come up throughout their sessions. So I feel like it's more intimate setting with one-on-one, although workshops do take place, but that is a very limited space and time for those.
Yeah, that makes sense. So tell me a couple of the techniques, if you can share some of your secrets when you work with your clients. Do you first ask them like, where are you? What's happening in your mind? Or do you just jump right in with, let's work on some breath work?
Oh gosh, no, that would just freak out their nervous system. Just jumping right in. All right, let's do this. No, I love to have the rapport. I love people. So I love to learn about them. And I love for them to share what's happening in their mind, in their body. So we definitely have an intake process. And then when I actually meet with them one-on-one, whether it's in my office or virtually, we're talking and I'm just letting them share whatever's on their mind, whatever they're thinking, whatever they're feeling. And I may ask questions in between just to feed and drive out some of what was really happening behind the scenes of what they're telling me. And then we'll start to move into maybe breath work or could be tapping. It could be some other somatic form. I am an NLP practitioner, so there's a variety of different outlets that I use. It could honestly be just a conversation where I use particular words that they're not understanding, but their subconscious can truly get to.
This whole subconscious thing is fascinating to me. Absolutely fascinating. How you gotta not manipulate it, but move it so that it doesn't keep doing the same thing or telling you the same thing over and over again.
Yes, most definitely. Some of the funniest times when I know where a client is in their process, that I will maybe, as they're speaking, just start counting out loud while they're speaking. And it starts to throw them off so that then they get out of the critical brain. They're like, okay, wait a minute. I lost my train of thought. Okay, great. Let's start again.
So you're breaking that habit?
You are. You are breaking the habit.
That's really good. Anyhow, how long do people typically work with you? Is there a certain amount of time or does it depend on the person? Yeah.
It truly depends on the person, what they're going through. I start off with a particular program. I have a 30-day, it's like my signature program. It's a 30 days, and it's to get them from where they're at when they pretty much walk in the door to where they want to truly be in that 30 days. We're clearing out the clutter. They're starting to take a little bit better care of themselves. They're starting to maybe look at things a little differently. And by that last day, they're like, okay, whatever I came in with, 90% of the time is not what they want to work on afterward.
Oh, interesting. So you're clearing the clutter to get to the meat of it.
Yes. And then from there, they can work with me for 3 months or 6 months. But the caveat is they have to do this 30-day program. It's called the Art of Well-Being because it's truly about the self-care that a lot of us tend to put off to the side. And it's the small things, like enjoying music for an hour, just enjoying listening to music, maybe dancing, maybe singing with no other agenda in mind. How often do we truly do that? We're sitting in our car.
I was going to say that I usually sing in my car.
It's things like that. It's another task that I have because I have it's like a daily task every day. There's a daily task. And then I also give them subliminals and hypnosis to go along with really letting go of what is holding them back. And so every day there's a particular task and it's so small. Maybe it's making a cup of tea, but in making that cup of tea, you've got that 10-minute span where you're not checking your phone, you're not talking to anybody else, you are truly focusing only on that cup of tea from the time the hot water starts to boil to the time you take that sip, that you've got 10 minutes of just pure nothing. And how did that feel? A lot of times for most people, that feels really uncomfortable. Why? Because we're not used to that. I don't have 10 minutes to sit and just wait for a cup of tea, but we do. We prioritize some things that are not priority over our well-being. When our well-being is the most important thing, because if our cup is not full, we can't fill others, not in the way that we really want to. And that is such a huge thing. It's such a big proponent for me and for what I do, because I see so many women struggle and be frustrated and shut down because they can't speak their truth. They don't feel safe enough in their own body to speak their truth. And so I give them the opportunity to start to feel safe, to not be judged, to be okay saying whatever it is they want to say and not feel as if though someone is going to be mad at them or judge them. But then they start to say it in a little softer way because they're no longer upset or frustrated or angry. Now have a clean slate of emotions that they know how to move through their body.
I love that. Jennifer, this has been so fantastic. And you got me thinking all kinds of different things that good routines that I need to get into myself. I know there's people listening who are thinking this the absolute same thing. So, what is the best way for them to reach out to you and find out more about what you can do?
I have a website called J Grove Wellness. I'm all over social media as, again, J Grove Wellness. I even have a podcast myself called Getting in the Grove.
I love that. That's so fun getting in the group. I should have known you had a podcast. I can tell. Last question for you is the same that I ask my guests, and it is, if there was one thing or one tip you could give the world to make it a better place, what would that be?
Let it out. Let it out. Holding it in does nothing for anyone. It does more harm for yourself, for those around you, because nobody understands what you're going through. So allow yourself to let it out.
I love that. What a great way to end this episode. Let it out. Put earmuffs on or go outside or don't tell neighbors though. Jennifer Grove, this has been an absolute delight. I am so grateful that you came and spent some time with me today with myself and my audience. And I know that they're walking away thinking about all these ways that they can improve what they're doing every day. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciated it.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.